Welcome. All of us want to rely on that within life that we can really count on. We're always looking for reliability wherever we go. We're looking for people we can count on, money we can count on, jobs we can count on, relationships we can count on, sex we can count on, whatever it is, where we're searching for something that will satisfy us and fulfill us, we're looking for something we can count on, something that we can rely upon, something that we know will be there, something that will be constant. Yet in all these things I just mentioned, have we ever found anything that's constant or permanent? No. We haven't. No matter how good the circumstances are that we've put together, we can never find permanency in what is always changing. It's absolutely impossible. And at some point, for some of us, we realize that. We realize that. And then we begin the search. We begin the search for freedom. We begin to look for that about ourselves that is timelessly free, that doesn't need to look for satisfaction, fulfillment, reliability, and constancy in that which is always changing. And when we have taken ourselves to be someone who is separate, isolated, and alone, and somehow apart from everyone and everything, very often we don't even know where to look. We have no idea where to look because we've been lost in an ocean of points of view, all of our belief systems and assumptions. And so we don't even have enough discernment to know where to look for this freedom. And especially for those of us in the West where we don't come from a culture where we have exemplars of timeless freedom. We have no lineages of that in the West. We absolutely don't know where to look. So we read books and we go to satsangs and we go to meetings. We look high and low. But very rarely in our entire lifetime, even if we search for decades, do we come into a circumstance where we can be pointed directly to who we are, where we can first of all be introduced, not through intellectual theory, but through direct experience to our true nature, and where in that circumstance the full evidence of that can be absolutely assured. And such is this circumstance, great freedom. When we hear that there's something called awakening or enlightenment, we know that it sounds true. It has the ring of truth in it. It is something that we know exists. And first of all, many of us think that it's something that exists in the future. We have to attain it somehow. We have to work very hard in order to get where we're going. And then maybe if we're really lucky, we'll be enlightened. But the message of direct perception of awareness that is offered in the Great Freedom Teaching isn't a message that's based on attainment or achievement or accomplishment. It's based on the awakening or enlightenment that's already present, it's already accomplished. It's the precious gift of our human life, the precious opportunity of our human birth, something that is inherent, that is innate, that is already fully evident, but has gone unrecognized. And when this is first pointed out to us, that who we are is already absolutely apparent, many of us say, well, if it's so apparent, how come I don't know it? The only reason that we don't know it is that we've been focusing on all of our perceptions and believing in those and taking them to be real. So first of all, we need to begin with the fundamental realization. And the fundamental realization is, I experience awareness. That's the fundamental realization. There's no human being anywhere on earth who can say, I am not aware. No matter who we are among all 6 or 7 billion people, there is not one person who can say, I am not aware. I don't know what you're talking about. So this awareness is something that is already present. It's already evident. And our direct experience of that awareness is our introduction to awakening. So first we hear about it, and then we have the direct experience of it. That awareness that we are is the root of every single perception, no matter what it is. And that our awareness, rather than being confined to the skin line of the body, the perimeter of the body, that awareness is vast, like infinite space. It's a vast expanse. We blend our idea of our awareness being separate, isolated within our own body, with the vast expanse of infinite space. And in that, we realize that all that appears within our awareness is a point of view of the pure view of that awareness, and nothing else. Nothing else. So all appearances, no matter what they are pure space. Just like our awareness is pure space, all that appears within it is pure space. And all that appears within it is only a point of view of that awareness. So in the Great Freedom Teaching, we don't introduce anything about ourselves that needs to be done away with. We don't talk about egos or personal identities that are identified with or fixated upon. We don't talk about a mind that's somehow in the way of awareness or anything like that. All points of view, no matter what they are included and contained within awareness. All points of view, ego, mind, personal identity, all these are just points of view within awareness. We cannot prove a personal identity. No matter where we look for anyone, will we find a personal identity. We can search high and low in any person here, and we will never find the location of that person. Say we took Kay over here and we said, okay, well, there's Kay, she's obvious. What could be more obvious than Kay sitting there? Well, what's obvious about Kay is her vivid appearance as Kay. We can't deny that. We see Kay. She's obviously naturally present, gloriously so, lucidly so. Yet when we really look into Kay for her Kayness, all we can prove is that our awareness is the source of this vivid appearance of Kay. So if we look at all of the beautiful aspects of Kay, what she's wearing, her skin, her lips, her heart, her eyes, her nose, her brain, everything about Kay, if we just examined every single thing about her, nowhere would we locate Kayness in Kay. So we couldn't really find something that we could establish as a substantial personal identity of Kay. A wonderful, vivid appearance, a natural expression of awareness, but nothing that's independent of awareness. So you see, there's no K that's independent of awareness. These two, the lucid emptiness of the natural presence of K and the entire emptiness of that in terms of having an independent origin, are all inseparable. So too, we talk about all appearances in this way. That no matter what the label is of the appearance, no matter how vivid the appearance of whatever the point of view it is of awareness, no matter how startling, amazing, magical, and superb it is, that its only source is awareness. Its only source is this wholly positive basic space of awareness. This vast expanse of infinite awareness that's never been confined and imprisoned by anything. So this that we are, this aware, wholly positive basic space, is not a destination that we're getting to. Just as we can't find really the location of, or dwelling place of a personal identity, we also can't find its origin anywhere other than awareness. And if we look for a destination of an assumed or presumed personal identity, who would be going where? You know, so all we can say is that there is this awareness and that it is without origin, location or dwelling place or destination. So these are very important understandings. These are fundamental understandings about ourselves. When we rely on what is permanent about ourselves, what always is, what cannot be vanquished, destroyed, conquered, altered in any way, we find awareness. And we can look at this in a very simple human way. The very simple human way we can look at it is that we all have had the experience of looking in a mirror. And usually we start that very early in our life. We look in the mirror for the first time. We're a little baby or infant, and our parents hold a mirror up in front of us, and sooner or later they keep telling us that's us, and pretty soon we say, okay, you keep harping on that, I accept it's me. Well, but all the time, what is aware of that is the root of the experience. So no matter how old we grow at different times during our life, we look in the mirror and we go, gosh, you know, what I'm looking at here, it's changed. But whoever's looking hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. We all come to that conclusion. My mother, who is 87, says this too. She said, well, you know, I look in the mirror, I see all these wrinkles, I see the devastation of aging, you know, everything about my skin keeps falling into the earth. And she said, but I haven't changed at all. I haven't changed at all. She said, I feel even better than I did when I was a teenager. And so, you know, what never changes? That's what we need to ask about ourselves. What never changes? And when we realize that it's our awareness that never changes, then we can begin to rely on that as our underlying basis, rather than the whole world of appearances, rather than continuing to seek satisfaction and fulfillment in that which never delivers satisfaction and fulfillment. We rest naturally as awareness, just as the uncontrived heart essence of every single perception. And as we do so, more and more we realize that we are this fundamental nature. We are this fundamental nature of holy, positive, basic space, a fundamental nature that has no seer and no seen. So, you know, we can hear about this forever, and it just all sounds so good. It sounds absolutely fabulous, and we could keep coming to these meetings every single day, hearing about it, just feeling good, and then going out and feeling exactly the same as we always have. You know, not wanting to leave India, and then the next minute wanting to leave India and go home. You know, so we have all these points of view swirling all the time. One minute we want one thing, the next minute we want the next thing, and we try to make it all work. We make commitments. Oh, okay, I'm going to stay in India. I'm committed to staying here no matter what happens. But these are all points of view. We can't rely on any of these things to give us any kind of satisfaction and fulfillment. It's like jumping from one lily pad to another for the entirety of our human lives. One experience to another, one thought to another, one emotional state to another, always looking for some kind of permanent satisfaction, and the lily pad always deteriorating, degenerating back into nothingness itself. So all these lily pads that we set up for ourselves, none of them are permanent. None of them can ever give us satisfaction. But the basis of all our perceptions, the basis of all of our experience can. It's that about us which is invincible. It's uncaused, inexpressible, unable to be described in any way and beyond anything that could be conceived, such as a destination or some kind of fixed location or dwelling place. Beyond any kind of extreme, certainly beyond any kind of supposed anomaly of point of view, like nothingness, non-existence, emptiness, even bliss, clarity, things like no self, no thought. All of these are points of view, but they are not freedom. How do we know what freedom is? It's freedom. In freedom, we're free as all points of view. So we're not trying to get rid of all our points of view. We rest naturally as awareness, and as we do so, we're free as every single point of view. We recognize our freedom as the vivid appearance, our freedom as that appearance. There's no awakening apart from that. There's never been a subject observing an object. There's never been an experiencer having an experience. There's only this awareness as whatever is occurring. The only way that we can realize that is to rest naturally without seeking anything, free in every single perception, free as every single perception. And when we do so, we gradually familiarize ourselves with the nature of our being. But if we with the fundamental ground of our being. You know, the fundamental ground of our being is basic space, wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware. And everything appears within that, just as the planets and stars are reflected in a clear pond, or just as all of the universe occurs within basic space. That basic space in which everything occurs is our very essence. So all the points of view, no matter what they are, they're inseparable from that basic space, just like they are the basic space. Just as the color blue is inseparable from the sky, or the color of your skin is inseparable from the skin. We couldn't separate out the color of our skin and say, okay, here's the color, here's the skin. Inseparable. Point of view and awareness are inseparable. So, you know, we must first of all arrive at this decisive experience of awareness, this very decisive experience of awareness that is the ground of every single one of our perceptions. And then we must rely upon that above all else. We must completely give up the search for comfort in point of view. To spend an entire lifetime trying to build up a comfort zone and then ensure that comfort zone is squandering a human life. It's totally squandering a human life, because none of these things are going to provide us the ease that we want on our deathbed. When we're on our deathbed, then we really want to know that we've relied on what is permanent, right? When we're on our deathbed, we're not going to be able to take the retirement account with us, or all our good works, or all our bad deeds either, you know. We're not going to be able to take any of our friends with us, or our hairdo, or our favorite clothes, or our house we live in, or any of that. All that's there is our awareness. That's it. And unless we have grown familiar with that during our lifetime, we won't be able to find it anywhere when we're on our deathbed. Now, everyone here in this room, we're all young enough that we can do this right now. We can become very acquainted with our awareness, as everyone already here already is. And we can become more and more acquainted with it, so that when we're on our deathbed, we're fully supported as who we are, that we can just gradually ease out of the point of view of a body and rest as infinite space. But if we don't, we're going to get to that moment of death, and we're not going to know what to do about it. There's going to be a lot of fear and a lot of clinging to life. Even if we desperately want to get out of life, we're still going to be clinging to life, because we're going to be unaware of what's on the other side. But there's nothing on the other side, and there's nowhere to get to. We're already dead, so to speak. But, you know, when we realize awareness is the basis of all our perceptions, then no matter what those perceptions are, birth, life, death, whatever they are, they all occur in awareness, and we can just laugh at ourselves and get more comfortable with the ground of our being. And as we do so, as we rest as awareness, we realize something about ourselves that we never knew was possible. And that is that along with it, true freedom, the true freedom that is without extremes, is inseparable from omniscience. It's inseparable from omniscience. The word omniscience means all knowing. In other words, no more learning. There's nothing to be learned. And for many of us, this word omniscience, it's not a word we use to describe ourselves or anyone else. So most of the time, we're not really even comfortable using this word about ourselves or anyone else. And it's very important for us as human beings to grow comfortable with that, to grow comfortable with the reality of our being. The omniscience is a much more naturally occurring quality than any other quality we can describe about ourselves. So if we want to describe anything about ourselves, how good we look, how pretty we are, how handsome we are, how ugly we are, you know, no matter what we want to describe ourselves, how smart we are, how competent we are, how much we contribute to life, no matter what we want to describe about ourselves, all these things are completely fleeting. They're nothing that we can take a stand on. Our omniscience is naturally occurring. It's already present. It's the foremost of all of our qualities and activities. So it's important for us to grow familiar with the reality of what we are as human beings. There's never been a time in human history when it's more important to become very familiar with that, to just go deeply into the profundity of who we are, to totally explore that, to not leave it unexplored, to not allow it to just be the province of something we read about in a book, where someone is talked about who has displayed great powers. To know that just as our complete enlightenment is already present, its complete benefit is also present. And that complete benefit has as its ground awareness that is entirely omniscient. What that means is that omniscience exudes, it emanates great benefit. It emanates great benefit for the whole, and it emanates the solution to problems that we can never arrive at through points of view. So we have all of these problems facing our world and facing humankind. And a lot of times when people search for awakening, they just want to get out of all that. Well, you know, give me nothingness, give me emptiness, give me transcendence. I want to transcend the body and all of that, and we'll just let all of that be as it may. Oh yes, nothingness, nothingness, everything is nothing, nuclear war is nothing, famine is nothing, the depleting ozone is nothing, so why bother about any of it? So some of us hear about that as some kind of idea of awakening, but you know, that's not awakening, that's just an anomaly of point of view. It's not the conventional point of view, but it's still a point of view. It's a way to check out. Wherever complete enlightenment has been present, it has equaled complete benefit. And that complete benefit is always for the whole, and it manifests exalted activities and qualities that benefit everyone. So, you know, it's always important to bring all of these things back to our direct experience. First, we have to directly experience our own awareness. And as we do so, we naturally become familiar with its qualities and activities. The qualities and activities are already present. They just appear all of a sudden as evident to us. Even though they've always been there, we can't ever recognize them until we begin to rest in an uncontrived way. If we try to meditate this into existence, we're just looking for something that's already present, so how could anything we do bring it forth? It's impossible. You know, if meditation resulted in awakening, we'd have many awakened people, right? Because there are many stalwart meditators out there. Many people meditating many hours a day, sometimes all day long. But if this was the cause that led to the result of awakening, then we would have millions and millions of awakened people, and we don't. So, you know, we have to look into our human history and our lineages of awakening to see which ones work, which ones really produce the result. And the only one that has ever produced the result for millions of people is to rest naturally in a non-contrived way. The sutras and tantras of India and of Tibet all say exactly the same thing, to rest free in the immediacy of each perception, that there's no splitting off into a state or an experience, that whatever the perception is, we're entirely free as that perception. And when we're entirely free as that perception, it gives rise to the great benefit that we already are. We really need to know this for ourselves. When I had this dramatic shift of realizing who I've always been 24 years ago, I didn't really even know what it was. I'd faced a time of great turmoil in my life, and I didn't know what to do about it. All my strategies of being successful and looking good and doing good works, none of them had resulted in any kind of sense of happiness or well-being. And that was completely unacceptable to me. I didn't know how I was going to face the rest of my life in that way, you know, in a state of hopelessness, of not being able to rely on all the points of view I'd put together. I'd built this edifice of point of view, and then it completely collapsed. It really looked good for a long time. It looked like I was building the Taj Mahal or something really glorious, but then it disappeared into pure space. Well, what was I to do about that? So, you know, I had this swirl of thoughts and feelings, you know, all those emotional states that none of us like, but all of us have, and all those thoughts that we wish we never had. But all these were occurring all at once, and there was no way I could stop them. None of the things I'd learned could stop them. They just kept coming. And in that, I realized that of all those things, the countless, ceaseless points of view that were occurring, that they all had exactly the same underlying basis. I didn't know what to label it. I really had no description for it. I just knew that when I rested as each of these perceptions, when they came up, that their essence was immaculate. It was immaculate, it was impeccable, and it was complete relief. And so I would just be at rest no matter what came up, no matter what came up, rather than getting into the story of whatever it was, I rested free in the immediacy of that perception. And as I did so, more and more, I came to a great ease with things about myself I had never known. First of all, I noticed that I was more comfortable, a lot more comfortable in life, no matter what was occurring. Secondly, I noticed that no matter who I saw, I felt a deep affinity and connection with them. I didn't need to take them to be anything in particular. And there was a goodness, a warmth that was naturally present in the interaction. And I like that. You know, it felt so much better than all my strategies for everything. I didn't even really know what to call it. And after 10 days of very rigorously resting in that way, rigorous rest, I didn't need to rest anymore. All of a sudden, this relief that I had been experiencing was that my reality 24/7. So who we are is as simple as this, you know, our very own awareness. Our very own awareness that is the space, the basic space of everything. Our very own awareness that is arrived at and known only through complete rest in the immediacy of perception. When, as some of you know, I was sitting in a Denny's restaurant when this occurred. So, you know, I wasn't in an ashram in India. I hadn't had a guru. I was relying on something about me that is true about everyone. So, you know, that's very important because I realized that what was true about me is true about everyone. That it's not something isolated or only for a select person or an elect person, but it's absolutely present as the great reality, the fundamental nature of everyone. So what I share with you here is only my direct experience. And all that can be introduced to you here is a direct experience of your own awareness. Would anyone here like to share about being introduced to the direct experience of their awareness in this circumstance of the Great Freedom Teaching? George, come up. George, if you could just talk about what it was like for you before you came to the Great Freedom Teaching, what happened and what it's like now, and give some time frame on that so people...
Okay, I want to tell something about myself. I was in Switzerland and I had a strong idea what I am. I came to India 3 years ago and I put more points of view, even stronger points of view. So I had some idea that I am surrounded by circles and I let the people come near me according to my idea about them. So certain people I keep out of every circle, certain people I let them come nearer and nearer according to my points of view. And now I feel that this point of view that I had about myself is keeping me isolated, that I cannot really connect with the people because I judge them, I put points of view on each person. So. And to let go this is a very big relief. I feel I love you all. Also, the work I'm doing, I discovered about 1 year ago, work with energies. And this morning I realized what I'm doing is only hypnotizing myself and hypnotizing my students, but it's not really a way out. So I will look at this point of view and let it go.
Thank you, George.
Another point. We are 2 minutes from here up the hill. It's called the Center of Light. And I invite everybody to be part of the Center of Light. This morning I had the idea to change the name, to change it in Great Freedom Center, but I must first discuss with Rajan.
Thank you, George. We really, as humankind, we need to come together in a community of mutual support for awakening, and that's really what the Great Freedom teaching and community is. And in Great Freedom teaching, we rely on the four comforts: resting naturally, the teacher, the teaching, and the worldwide community, which is completely available 24/7, just like customer service at Dell Computer or wherever else you can find good customer service. We're completely available. No one is alone anymore. So this alone, you know, is rare. And this is a tremendous benefit to everyone everywhere. Then also we need to come out of this type of process of awakening where there's one person who's awakened and other people waking up, or very often not, where no one is allowed to speak about their awakening. There's never really a forum for anyone to speak about it. We all have to become as familiar with speaking about our awakening as we are speaking about all our points of view. Because all of us, no matter who we are, over the years, we've learned all the points of view of our culture, of our family, then our work, college, all of these things, or whatever education we have. And so when we begin to rest naturally, we need to be able to talk about that, and we need to be able to talk about the realizations we're having, not just with our teacher, but with everyone. So here, that's something that's very much emphasized. We learn all the points of view we have by listening to them, hearing them over and over again, so repetition, reading about them, watching all kinds of media that generate even more points of view, and writing them down, etc. So when we start to wake up, we need to apply the same skills to that. We need to grow totally familiar with ourselves as we are. And so all of those are emphasized too in the Great Freedom Teaching. These are very vital aspects of waking up. To just sit around and hope that something's going to happen is doing ourselves a great disservice. If we sit around and hope that something's going to happen, like at some point, oh, well, we're going to wake up and that's going to be it, it's, first of all, very unlikely that it will happen, and we're wasting our time. I can't put it any more simply than that. We're really wasting our time. But when we commit ourselves to natural rest, we have a teacher, we have a teaching, a written teaching we can rely on, and we have a community, then we know we're giving ourselves the absolute fullness of all the support that's available to us in terms of waking up in a very real way. Would anyone else like to share about their direct experience of awareness?
I came here 3 months ago to the Great Freedom Teaching for the first time, and since then I've never gone anymore. It's something that so completely changed my life and my way of looking at people, especially myself. Sometimes it's hard to remember how it has been before, but still these points of view that we are talking about appear, and they appear so vividly that sometimes I have to look twice to see that it's
just appearing and that it's not myself. But then when I look back and see how I got involved into the stories of these points of view all the time, like I'm angry at somebody or I need to earn a lot of money to have a safe home for our children or whatever, then these elaborations would take hours, days, weeks, and I was building a life around these points of view to give me a sense of certainty and security. And all of that just came to a stop. So when these thoughts come up now, it might take a minute, or I don't know, I never really measure, but it doesn't take days or months until I realize it's a point of view and it's not who I am. And this tremendous peace that is underlying each of our own points of view is just so obvious. Even in this turmoil, I know that there is the peace underlying it and I can just sink into that. So, life-changing for the good and for the benefit of all. So it's what George just said about the Great Freedom Center here in Rishikesh. It's just so normal then when I experience that freedom for myself, I just want to share it because that's the highest purpose I can think of in life. This doesn't mean that anybody who takes part in the teaching has to do that. But it's a natural expression for me.
Thank you. Thank you, Gail.
So I had the direct introduction to the Great Freedom Teaching only, probably a fortnight ago, around about a fortnight. I was just commenting to my partner yesterday that I've been travelling in India prior to chance happening upon Candace and the Great Freedom Teaching, and I was trying to remember back to where I was in Bodh Gaya, and it was almost like a complete another lifetime ago. It was like, who was that person that was in Bodh Gaya or Varanasi? And the person that I feel now so familiar with suddenly, that I've always somehow known inside but have now recognized again, just seems to have this timeless quality, this beautiful essential nature that isn't absorbed in past or future. So trying to remember back to who that was, taking part in all these sightseeing activities and trying to find some permanent joy even in that. I mean, coming to India is beautiful, but there was still no sense of permanence or joy in that experience because it's so fleeting. And It's almost like I was feeling that even though I'm looking at a beautiful scene in Varanasi, for example, there's part of me that's trying to create the beauty, there's part of me that's trying to sense or feel. And now, when I've familiarized myself with what I've always been, the sense of having to try to do something or create something or feel something, it sort of just vanished, and it's just a natural, uncontrived way of being where everything is part of me. I don't have to try and feel the beauty because the beauty naturally is what I am, and I'm just experiencing myself in everything. It's the greatest realization that awareness is just finally recognizing itself and there's no experience. There's no me experiencing anything here and now. It's just awareness finally recognizing the absolute beauty and fullness of itself. And it feels incredible. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Vanessa? Way to start. It's such a powerful shift. I think everyone who's come up here has explained the difference between pre-great freedom and during or post-great freedom. It's all-encompassing. It changes every single aspect of life just by seeing the shifts in our own points of view. All the points of view drop away so that we rest, well, I'm talking about myself, so that I come to rest in this pure awareness of what is. The teaching is so simple and yet so complete, and you've got to do it. Yeah, there's not much to say. It's really having that realization, and the way that especially the 12 inquiries is put together, it's one after another, and the way that it's created is, I think I've said it before, but it's complete. It's the ultimate teaching. And I've looked at many and I've never found this. And everything else now is obsolete. I feel great freedom, complete freedom.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you so much. Sometimes when we're looking for awakening, we are looking for something to happen, you know, something to happen. But there is no thing that's going to happen. All there ever is our own awareness, our own expressiveness, our own exclamation of our truly real nature. And that only occurs right here, you know, right here. It's absolutely timeless and without any way that can ever give it full expression. So when we start to just sink into that and become more and more familiar with it as ourselves, there are shifts that take place, and those shifts that have been expressed by the four people who came up here are just so beautiful as to how we, in a simple human way, experience the reality of our own awareness. That first of all, we notice that all these points of view are arising in our awareness. And we notice that maybe one of those points of view is the personal sense of being a somebody, and then there are all these other points of view. But that personal sense of being somebody is a point of view just like all the other points of view. It's not a warehouse of points of view. It's just a point of view. And then, you know, so in an easy, just effortless way, we grow familiar with the ground of our being. And then we start to notice, oh, gee, you know, that point of view that I've always been afraid of speaking in public or whatever. whatever it is, or I've been afraid of being abandoned when I go into a relationship, or I've been afraid to really pursue the work that I want in life, what I have a passion to do. All of these things, we notice just in a natural way that these are points of view. They're not who we are. They're just points of view arising in our awareness. And as we realize that, we just grow more and more comfortable with the fundamental ground of our being. It's just entirely natural. It's so easy and effortless. Even things that seem so huge, like the things that Johann was talking about, how am I going to take care of my family, and things that are really important to us in life, rather than those being the confines of all of our experience, they're just a point of view arising in awareness. And the more we rest as that awareness and allow ourselves to become acquainted with ourselves as that awareness, the more freedom we have as all points of view. So nothing whatsoever is left out. And all of this just clicks into place like the tumblers in a safe click into place before the safe is open. Just one, you know, realization after another. So for most human beings, waking up is not a singular event. It's something that opens up into spaciousness more and more over time. No matter how awake anyone is, they could live for countless eons, and there would always be more of omniscience revealed in terms of the expression of an individual life. So there definitely is no destination. Don't ever limit yourselves in any such way. And this is one of the incredible beauties about who we are, that it isn't a destination, that this revelation of who we are is always fresh and new in every moment, that it doesn't need to have any particular look or feel. It just is whatever it is in our own life. And in the Great Freedom Teaching, anyone who shows up here and commits to it realizes that. It's as clear as that. Even though, you know, that may sound impossible to you if you're here for the first time, you can count on it being the case. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Are there any questions?
With relation to children, mm-hmm. you've talked about getting them to make their own decisions and encouraging them in that process. Is that to help them develop or establish in that omniscience?
Well, first, the most important choice or decision we ever make in any moment is how to use our awareness. Our awareness is the root of everything. So there are only two things we can do with our awareness, so to speak. One is just to rest in an uncontrived way as the essence of our being. And the other is to get involved in a lot of different points of view. So that is really the most fundamental of all decision-making processes. But when we encourage decision-making in a child, it strengthens their capacity to make that decision, because they're no longer seeing outside authorities as making all their decisions. So when we live a life based on the belief systems and assumptions of point of view, one of those belief systems and assumptions is usually that there are outside authorities making decisions about our life, that we have to rely on outside authorities to get certain things we need, like knowledge or work or whatever it is. And so the more we can support children in grounding themselves in their fundamental nature rather than in their experience of an outside authority that they need to rely on to do something for them or get something for them, the more they have an effortlessness in making this choice to rest as awareness if they want to do so.
about sky gazing. I used to do this when I was a child, many times. Now I started again, and something I see, like some black points or some worms, some transparent worms going around, or some sparkling light. I ask, is this something or some only a point of view?
Does it mean anything, are you asking? That's one. When sometimes if we just feel trapped in our bodies, at first when we hear about awareness, the vast expanse of infinite space, just looking into the sky and allowing our awareness to blend with the vast expanse of infinite space is very, very helpful. We can do that for 5 minutes or 15 minutes or hours, whatever we care to do. And then we'll notice all kinds of things that occur. But all these are appearances in awareness, that's all. We just become, we notice things that we've never noticed before, like little sparkling lights or rainbows or whatever it may be. But you see, all of these things, no matter what they are appearances in awareness. Just like all the dreams at night are appearances within sleep. But the constant in everything is awareness. It's just like the constant in our seeing is awareness. The constant in our hearing is awareness. The constant in our speaking is awareness. In our tasting, awareness. In our touching, awareness. There's no someone who is sensing those things through some kind of personalized sensing mechanisms. It's awareness that's at the root of all perceptions. So it's very important to just rest as awareness. Then we become more and more familiar with the reality that all these perceptions, they originate, they endure, and they cease in, of, as, and through awareness. They never exist elsewhere. Never exist elsewhere, no matter what they are. When we grow familiar with that in our waking life, then we'll notice more and more that we're aware at night when we're asleep, that we're aware in our dreams, that all the perceptions of our dreams also occur in awareness, that, you know, it's just like if we hear something in a dream, what hears? What hears that? Are there dream ears in there hearing that? We see ourselves in a dream, and we hear something in the dream. We really have to examine these things about ourselves to get to know ourselves. All of the appearances, no matter what they are, they occur within awareness. And the more we're aware of the subtleties of this, the more relaxed we can become, the more awareness feels comfortable to us, the more we can just let go of having a personal identity. But we don't even have to worry about any kind of personal identity because it naturally slips away. All we do is rest as awareness, and pretty soon we're saying, wow, did I ever think I was a personal someone? So, you know, when we talk, sometimes people come to satsang and they say, oh, I'm afraid of the annihilation of I. When I was in India in 2004, that was the big question in satsang. What about the annihilation of the I? I'm scared to death of that. Well, you know, the I is just a point of view occurring in awareness. There's no I to be annihilated. That's the good news. There's nothing to be destroyed. There's only awareness, and awareness is permanent and unchanging. So this we count on above all else. In each perception, we count on that which is constant, which is absolutely constant, that no one can ever take away from us. That, you know, we couldn't take it away from ourselves even if we tried. We couldn't say, oh, I'm fed up with awareness. I don't want to be aware anymore. We can't do that. We're aware no matter what. It's already accomplished, already present, and we don't need to rely on anything else. At first, it may seem like it's our personal awareness we're relying on. Well, that won't last long. If it seems like it's your own personal awareness, the more you rest as awareness, the more all of these ideas about a personal boundary or space, they will dissolve. But at the same time, there will be complete enjoyment of your own life. So it's not like disassociating or disconnecting. That isn't what we're talking about here. We're talking about coming into the fullness of our own being in a totally uncontrived and uncontained way, a way where everything we need to know is already present. And even if we want to go and study something, we want to study physics or cake baking or whatever it is, we'll have an experience of that that is so far beyond any experience we could have had of it living from point of view. As long as we're living from point of view, we're constantly being bandied about by all of these perceptions, belief systems, and assumptions we have about everything. But when we go into every single situation totally free in our own place, then we can see all kinds of things that were never seen before. After I woke up, I went to graduate school, and so, you know, I was in the setting of graduate school and surrounded by all kinds of brilliant points of view flashing all over the place, you know, with all kinds of expectations of me and the way I should do things, how I should write, how I should express myself, you know, how I should perhaps toe some kind of party line about this or that intellectual endeavor and critical theory. And all I can say is, you know, I was entirely free in my own place. I just sat down to write, and whatever I wrote was what appeared. And I excelled. So, you know, freedom surmounts everything. You know, there's nothing that freedom can contain. No structure can contain freedom in any way. All structures are always entirely free. So it doesn't matter where we do or what we go, what kind of job we have, what kind of studies we're undertaking, where we're living, whether our family life is happy or not. Freedom depends on nothing at all. You know, there are no limitations whatsoever. No thing can contain freedom, because everything is freedom. So any of these points of view we have, they're liberated upon rising. They're free in their own place. They're spontaneously imploding and exploding of their own accord. There's nothing that can ever keep us restrained or imprisoned from who we are. It's absolutely impossible that can be the case. All we can do is place ourselves in a circumstance where that's totally encouraged. Just like if we had a small infant, we'd want to give that infant everything. We want to place it in all the right circumstances to make sure that it had the best of life, everything that life could possibly offer. When it comes to our own freedom, we want to do exactly the same thing. If we don't do that, we'll spend our entire life frittering it away, looking for small personal comforts that never lead to anything. So, you know, we have to always keep the focus on ourselves and know that this constancy of awareness is already present. It's already available to us. That we're already timelessly free, and that has to be paramount. You know, there's no question about it. That has to be of paramount importance to us, or it's never going to happen. It never happened anyway. But you know, we're never going to have full evidence of our awareness unless we commit to it. It's as simple as that. It can't be second place or third place or, oh yeah, I'd rather go see Varanasi than be directly introduced to my awareness, whatever it is. Oh, I'm here in India, I have to go see all these things, so maybe I'll sample awareness another time. You know, these are all choices we have. We come to India and we probably don't even know why we came here. But if we're really lucky, we'll find out. if we're really lucky, we will find out. It's, you know, we'll find that about ourselves that can never be found. It can never be found. It doesn't need to be found. It doesn't need to be looked for. It doesn't need to be sought. If we think we have to seek and we have to do all kinds of practices and methods, there's a snowball's chance in hell that we'll ever find out who we are. Really. But, you know, here in this circumstance, there's something called the Great Freedom Teaching. And the first of those teachings is called the 12 Inquiries. And the 12 Inquiries are 12 Inquiries. With each inquiry, there's a falling away of all kinds of points of view. So rather than just talking about these things in general terms, it's dealt with in a very specific way. So that there's no way to ever look at yourself in the same way again. No matter how much you might want to, but no one has ever said they wanted to. No one has ever said, oh, I want a refund on my misery. Could I please have my misery refunded? But you know, some of us, we don't really even feel miserable because we might have some comforts and that sort of thing. And so we may have convinced ourselves that we feel good. But you know, if we really look at the nature of our own thoughts and emotional states, we'll realize that we have a lot of thoughts and emotional states that are really pushing us and pulling us this way and that. And we'll notice, just by resting as awareness, that we've informed a lot of our actions and choices in life based on these thoughts and emotional states that are pushing us this way and that. That really, rather than our choices being grounded in awareness, flowing directly from awareness, they've flowed from these points of view of things like fear. We're afraid we'll be abandoned in a relationship. So that fear comes up, and rather than resting as awareness, we think, oh, you know, he's going to abandon me. I better cook him dinner, or, you know, clean the house, or he might say, I better get a better job, or, you know, do something so she'll like me and won't abandon me, or, you know, whatever it is, or I better be nice to her or him, or they'll split the scene and they won't be around anymore. So you see, this is what I mean in a very simple way. These fears come up, and then all of these things appear out of those fears. We just generate all of these points of view that are all rooted in emotional upheaval. So, you know, if we rest as awareness, we just naturally see some of these things about ourselves. And all of the fears that we have gradually diminish and fall away, and sometimes they fall away very quickly, you know, all at once. When we acknowledge who we are, it's the great balm. It's the great balm. No matter what we've taken to be real, it doesn't hold as much importance anymore. And our whole life becomes an avenue of ease. Do you have any questions?
I'm just taking it on, and it's still, it seems like such a large concept to grasp in, what is it, maybe an hour that I'm here. But I'm very open to just listening, and yeah, it just seems like such a large concept at this point. It's probably, of course, that's probably just me making it more complicated. But, yeah.
Are you aware of being naturally present right here?
Yes, but I am very much inhibited by responsibilities and roles that I play in my life at home.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I know. In terms of myself, I'm pretty content. It's the outside things that I find are my chains. It's not me and myself, it's the things that I allow to kind of restrain me from
Like what?
My job, mm-hmm. family obligations. Not as much family obligations, but the fact that I probably take on more than I really need to.
Uh-huh.
Just because I feel like I should. Mostly expectations of other people that I live up to, that I'm living up to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh. And what are you seeking?
Outside looking in, it looks like I have a great life. It appears to be very balanced, but it's not fulfilling. That's the best way to describe it. Other people would say, wow, you have a great job, you have a great life. Yeah, but I don't really care. Like, it doesn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I take it for granted, I'm thankful to have it, but mm-hmm. there's just always that feeling at the end of the day of, just another day, whatever. Who cares? I'm tired of saying who cares.
You're tired of saying who cares.
And for coming here, I've wanted to come here since I was 20. I'm 30 now, it's a birthday present to myself.
Oh, it is.
I came with no itinerary, just an open mind. And whatever happens, happens. That's how I see it. So what started as maybe 2 or 3 days in Rishikesh is probably going to be a lot longer than that.
Keep coming back. This is a great gift you've given yourself, this openness to your own being. And this question that you've asked yourself, who cares, is a very important question. And also that you've noticed that you're asking yourself that question, who cares, that is of ultimate importance. You obviously have great solidity in your own being already. So now to take it this next step, to realize the fundamental reality of who you are, out of which all this flows, is of incredible importance. Because from here, you're at the crossroads, you're at the fork in the road. Either you can go down the fork that's going to take you on this lifetime of having a job and comfort and all these things that are expected of you, or you can take the fork in the road where